This morning we have a special guest with us, Gor Kajikyan. Very difficult name to pronounce. I first met Gor a couple months ago while I was worshiping in the Netherlands, and I thought, here's a man who is passionate about his love for Jesus Christ. And he gave a really touching and an encouraging, challenging message, and I trust that he will do that this morning for us. I'd like to read the scripture passages here, John chapter 8, starting in verse 30 to 36. This is from the New Living Translation. Then many who heard him say these things believed in him. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." "But we are descendants of Abraham," they said. "We have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean you will be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is a part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free." Gor, please come.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here, really. This is the second time in my life I have the privilege to preach in Belgium. The first time was a few weeks ago in northern Belgium, just near to the close with the Netherlands. But it's great to be here with you, and I'm really looking forward what the Lord's going to do this morning. I mean, how do we go to the church? Do we really expect to be changed, or it's just a morning that we spend together? I mean, you know, the Bible is in the first place not given as an information book. It's not an information book, it's a transformation book. So every time I read the Bible or I talk to people about God, I expect transformation. That's why I'm doing it. I mean, otherwise I could also just go to the city center and have some fun. Well, I'll do it later, but it's okay. Can I have a glass of water, please? I came here with my parents and my brother. It's because we will have just a day in Brussels, just a trip. And I was born in Armenia. Do you know where Armenia is? A small country in the east. You know, the wise people come always from the east, the Bible says. So here we are. So, you know, the three wise people came to Jesus from the east. When I was 12 years old, my parents went to the Netherlands, so I grew up in the Netherlands. Actually, I found Christ in the Netherlands when I was 14 years old, and that really changed my life. You know, I really like action and adventure and all that stuff, but the most exciting thing in my life is the Bible and is God's kingdom. Is that also with you guys or not? If not, I hope to bring something to you this morning. I study medicine. I'm in the last few months of my medical studies, and after that I hope to become a trauma surgeon, so because I like action, everything with emergency, I do like it, okay? And I have also a job. I work as an ambulance driver. Again, action, you know, we just drive with this noise, it's great. But the most exciting thing in my life is to travel around and to preach the gospel and to see people changed. Especially young people. My heart goes out for young people. We organize youth events in the Netherlands twice a month where we gather 800 young people. And it's the biggest one in the Netherlands. It's great what we see because God is a living God and He's working. Also this morning. Let me start with a joke. And as we are in the... Okay. Are there Dutch people here? Okay. You know that in the Netherlands we have a lot of jokes about Belgians, yeah? You know that. But now I'm in Belgium, so now I'm going to tell a joke about the Dutch people. Is that okay? Let me do that, okay? So Dutch people, you have to close your ears for a few minutes. Three men were sitting in a hospital while their wives were giving birth. okay? So these three men were waiting, and one of them was Dutch, the other was Belgian, and the third one was Nigerian. He came from Nigeria, okay? And then the doctor comes out and he says, congratulations, all of three, you have a son. Yeah, so they are very happy. But the doctor says, well, because they came at one together, I mean, on one time, we switched them off, so we don't know which child is whose, okay? But you as a father, you can pick out your own child because as a father, you recognize your baby. So they go in and they see the three babies laying down and they say to the Belgian, okay, you may choose first. And he goes to the babies and he picks the Nigerian kid, the black one, okay, or the skinned one. Sorry, brothers from Africa. And the doctor asks, why do you choose the black or the colored child? He says, well, this is the only way of making sure I will not go home with the Dutch. Amen. Okay, one more, then we start, okay? Three friends. I just want to wake you up. Three friends went hunting. One businessman, one lawyer, and one preacher. Sorry, do I scare her? Three friends went hunting, a businessman, a lawyer, and a preacher. And while they were waiting until an animal came by, so they were waiting and concentrated, and suddenly they saw a deer, okay? Or how do you call it? Was that a hert? Deer? Is that okay? Okay. They saw a deer coming by, and then they were waiting, and suddenly, at one moment, all of them, all three, they fired. So the deer fell, and then they say, okay, but how do we know which one of us was the one who hit the deer? It's a problem, okay? And the lawyer says, well, you know, I'm to be trusted, okay? I'm a lawyer, so let me do some research, and I will see which one of us hit the deer. So the lawyer goes to the deer, and he's looking around, and do you know it? They ask. The lawyer says, yes, I can see it. And who is the one who hit the deer? The lawyer says, the preacher. So the businessman, he asks, how do you know that? Well, the lawyer says, the bullet went here in and here out. And this morning, my friends, I hope to shoot at you with the bullets of the love of God, but that they will hit your heart. Because most of the time we hear the preaching, but it goes here in and here out. I hope not this morning. Okay, cool. Well, we've read John 8, verse 31 until 36. It's a very powerful message. And actually, I just want to tell you about the context. Okay, what was happening? John 8 starts with a powerful demonstration of Jesus, of his love and forgiveness. John 8 starts with the woman who was caught in bed with a man which was not her husband. Okay, so they brought the woman to Jesus and they said, we have to kill her, we have to throw stones on her. What do you say as a teacher? And then he demonstrated the love of God. Can you imagine what this woman felt at the moment? The shame and this pain. But Jesus demonstrated powerful his love. And then he goes on telling the people about who he is. He gives a lot of revelations about himself. He says, I am the light of the world. If you believe me, then you will live in life. You will live in light. And he continues, he says, my Father and I are one. Okay, so we don't believe in more gods, okay? We have one God. Jesus says, my Father and I are one. And everything I do with the Father. And the more he's talking in John 8, the more questions the Pharisees and the teachers of the law of Moses are asking, the more confusing the situation gets. You should read John 8 completely, then you'll understand what I mean. It's really confusing for the Jewish people. They don't understand, what is this man talking about? And then he says, oh, by the way, and your father is the devil, for you believe the lies. I mean, it has to be a kind of shocking place. You following me? Okay? It was a kind of loving and warm place like this. Okay? There was a tension and people were, who is this Jesus? I mean, he demonstrated the power of God and the love of God. And then he says, he's the light. He's one with the Father. And our Father is the devil. I mean, who is this guy? And somewhere in between, he says, if you stay in my teachings, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Very powerful words. So I want to look with you to these four or five verses about knowing the truth and how can the truth set us free. And what is this truth? Well, the first thing we can ask ourselves is, what will set us free? I mean, this Bible verse is very clear. Only the truth, not hard working, okay? Not doing your best, not the law or rules, no. Only the truth will set you free. And it's not written a truth, okay? It's very important because we live in a society, especially if you study at a university, it's not allowed to claim to know the truth. You following me? People say, you know, God, you have your own truth, okay? Just don't touch mine, it's okay. You may have your own truth, but it's not a universal truth. I refuse that. Never, never give up. Never do some consensus on this one, because this is maybe one of the powerful texts that Jesus says, I am the truth, the way, and the life. There is no other truth, okay? The truth is in the person of Jesus. So he says, this truth will set you free. Now is my question to you, church. If the truth of Jesus is setting us free, then why do we have a lot of Christians now going to churches all over the world, but still bounded and with chains? How is that possible? I mean, is that bothering you? Do you sometimes ask yourself these questions, or am I the only one? No? Well, I was thinking about it. I said, Jesus, I really asked God, how is it possible that you say in your word that the truth will set us free, and that now I travel around the world and I meet a lot of people, a lot of Christians, not free. They are not living a free life. By the way, sorry for my English sometimes. My best language to preach is Dutch. My second one is Armenian. Third one is English. And the fourth one is Russian. So sometimes I confuse it in my head. So, but I think you understand me so far. Okay, good. How is it possible? Well, when I asked Jesus this question, actually, he said, it's very funny. He said, God, read it again. It's not written, hearing the truth will set you free. Because I asked Jesus, how is it possible that Christians go to church and they do all this stuff, but they are still not free? He says, hearing the truth will not set you free. And more than that, believing the truth will not set you free. Because the devil believes also the truth. And the demons, they also know the truth of Jesus Christ. And the key, actually, he gave me, also for this morning, is obedience. His word says clearly, he starts with this verse, if you stay in my teaching, then you will know the truth, and this truth will set you free. Obedience. Not only hearing God's word, but doing it. And I'm not preaching some law. No, no, no. And I'm not here to judge you. It's just a spiritual principle. It's just how it works. Jesus says, if you stay in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But the problem is, my friend, I discovered that we find difficult to obey. You know why? One of the things is that we don't trust God. We believe him, okay, but we find it difficult to trust. And I want to demonstrate that to you by telling a story. Or do you think that believing and trusting is the same? Are there people who says believing and trusting is the same? No? Most of you believe in God, I guess. I hope so. One man, an acrobat, went to a village and he gathered the whole village at one point on a high mountain top, and he stretched a cord or a cable from one side of the mountaintop to the other side with a very deep valley between, and he said to these people of the village, do you believe that I can walk on this cable to the other side and back without actually any security? If I fall, I will be dead, more than that. You know, it was very high. He said, do you believe that I can do that? Well, the people, they don't know this guy, but they say, yeah, we do. Show us. We believe you. And they start clapping. Show us. So he does. He goes to the other side, and then he comes back. And people are clapping and shouting, and they're really enthusiastic, a bit more than you are. But okay, I forgive you. So they are really, yeah, you can do it. You can do it. And then he says, okay. I'm going to make it a bit extremer. Do you believe that I can go through this cable to the other side and back with a wheelbarrow in my hands? You know a wheelbarrow? Okay? With one wheel. And they're like, yeah, you can do it. Are there people also sitting behind the... Hi. So now you know. Okay. Do you believe that I can do it with a wheelbarrow? They say, yes, we can believe you. Do it. Show us. And he does. And people are really getting crazy. They are shouting and screaming and dancing. I mean, this guy is great, you know. He takes a lot of risk. And then he says, okay, I'm going to make it a bit extremer. Do you believe that I can do the same with a wheelbarrow, but then with a person inside of it? Yeah, you can do it. So now they are really enthusiastic, okay? A bit more than you are, but still they are clapping and shouting and screaming. And then he says, okay, all of you believe. Yes, we believe. And now I need a volunteer. I think we have our volunteer. Nobody reacted. My friends, we do believe God, yes, and we proclaim it. But when God says, trust me your life, even it's so high, if you want to go to the outside, trust me, obey me, for I am the one who created everything. I am the best place for the information of your life. Come to me. Then we find it difficult because we are afraid that we will fall and we will die. And that's the biggest lie, actually, that we find difficult to trust God. But I'm here to say you, to encourage you, trust him your life. Okay, he gave it to you. He knows how to handle it. So that's the key, actually, to obey the words of Jesus so that we may know the truth and that truth will set us free. My friends, I had to learn this in a school of like 8-9 years. The case is my parents went to the Netherlands as a refugee, so I was an asylum seeker. I don't know whether there are asylum seekers here in our midst, and I don't know whether you know how it works in the Netherlands or not, but my young years, they were, I mean, okay, it was cool, but it was difficult, okay? I had to learn how to trust God because there was I needed something from above, okay? Nothing here on earth could help me. I needed a miracle in my life, and the more... Actually, the bigger the problems became, because the first 3 years we spent in this procedure, and after that our procedure was closed and they tried to put us out. 5 years we were like kicking out of the country. Okay, 5 years, every day, the chance that you will be kicked out of the country, it's quite a long time. But every day, the bigger the problems went, or the bigger the problems became, the more I learned to trust God. Okay, and I'm still here, praise God. But that's something we need to learn and we need to discover ourselves. How to know the truth? By obeying Christ. And how do we learn to obey? By trusting him. Those are the keys. And this is the place, actually, in the preaching that you can ask, okay, preacher, it sounds great, but free from what, actually? I mean, we live in a free country. Okay, we live in a country where you can do everything you want. Free from what? And that was exactly the question the Pharisees asked Jesus. They said, free? I mean, we are the children of Abraham. We have never been slaves. What are you talking? Free from what? And actually, it sounds also kind of paradox. Okay? Because Jesus says, if you really want to be free, you have to do what I say. It sounds... I mean, that sounds weird, isn't it? Because real freedom, the world teaches us, is to do not listen to someone else. Do what you want. Do what your flesh wants. That's the real freedom they preach. The world preaches. But Jesus says, no, if you do what I say, if you obey the word of God, then you are free. So the Pharisees, they are really in shock. Free from what? We are children of Abraham. And actually, you could hold a very long preaching about this sentence of Pharisees, we are children of Abraham. Why are they referring to that? It's a different preaching. I'm not going to hold that. But the one thing I want to say is, it's funny that they say this sentence, we are the children of Abraham, we have never been slaves. The funny thing is that's not true. They have been slaves in Egypt, you remember? Everyone knows Egypt. Is there, by the way, someone for the first time here in this church? There are a few, welcome. Someone for the last time? Wait until the end of the preaching, okay? So they say we have never been slaves, but actually that's not true. Because you remember Moses bringing his people out of Egypt. For 430 years they have been slaves. Jacob, Israel, moved to Egypt with all his families because his son Joseph was the right hand of the king. You remember that? And then the time came that they became slaves in Egypt. So then God decided to bring out his people from Egypt and he sends Moses. And the funny thing is, Moses starts to punish the gods of Egypt. I mean, these 10 plagues are not just a coincidence, okay? God was not like thinking, let me send frogs, you know? No, it wasn't a coincidence. All these 10 plagues God sent were against the false gods of Egypt. All of them. If you have time, just study on that, okay? The plagues of Egypt. A fascinating story how God humiliates, actually, the false gods of Egypt. And then the last one. Ooh, the last one is cool. We're going to read about the last one. Because the last one, there was only one thing left between freedom and slavery. There was only one thing left between death and life. And that's the last plague. And we're going to read about it from Exodus 12, verse 21 to 23. If you have your Bible with you, please look it up. And I've used the NIV. Exodus 12, verse 21 to 23. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. None of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and the sides of the door frame and will pass over the doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your house and strike you down. They had to mark their houses with the blood of the lamb. That was standing between slavery and freedom, between death and life. And my friend, do you think that God did not know where his people was living in Egypt? You think he was lost his address book? He was like, let me see you. Oh, I don't know. Is this? No. And do you think this angel of death was lost somewhere in Egypt? His tom-tom wasn't working well, so left side, right? So they needed a sign? You think that? Of course not. God knows where his people live. Definitely. But they had to carry the sign of the blood of lamb. That's the only thing was actually between their slavery and freedom. The blood of the lamb. The ticket, actually, to go out. The only thing they had to carry was the blood of the lamb. And to demonstrate you that, and I really hope that this sign of the blood is also on your life. But if it's not, I'm going to demonstrate you something also, okay? My last story, and then I'm going to try to close. A farmer in Africa, yeah, sorry, friends from Africa, I just have some stories about Africa. I love that country, or the continent. A farmer in Africa, he had to actually burn his land after the harvest to have more harvest the next year, okay? You know that? For example, or some corns or some stuff you have to burn after the harvest so that you have more the year after. Okay, so he was busy burning his land and actually thinking about all kinds of stuff, okay? So he was busy in his head, and while he was burning his land, suddenly he looked around and he saw that he made fire around him and he was standing in between. Okay, can you imagine that? I mean, that's actually a stupid thing to do, but that's the case, okay? So he was standing just on the place where around him was fire. And he was like, oh my God, this is it. I'm going to die here right now because I cannot jump over it. The fire is too high. And what is the way out? And then suddenly he had this idea and he made a small fire just under his feet on the place he was standing. Just a small, tiny, tiny little fire that he could also step out, you know. So he burned actually a very small circle on the place he was standing. And there he is, standing. And while the fire was coming closer and closer, and it was getting hotter and hotter, just before it touches him, it goes out. For the fire cannot burn where it has already burned. There is only one ground, my friend, where the fire, the judgment of the Lord, will not touch you. That's the cross of Jesus. For there it has already burned. Okay? So there is one place that we can run to escape this judgment and the fire of God. There is one place that we can escape the loneliness, the tears, the pain. That's at the cross of Jesus. And Jesus knew that at the moment that he was talking to the Pharisees. When they said, Abraham, we are children of Abraham, we have never been slaves. Jesus knew. Why? Because he was the lamb sacrificed for us so that we may be free. And Jesus knows that. So he says, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. But if the Son will set you free, you will be free indeed. For if the Son will set you free, your ground will change. The ground on which you are standing. That will be holy ground. And then you will be free. But still the question, how is it possible that so many Christians today are not living free? Why are there in Christian houses also divorces? And why are Christian children also suffering? Why there is also abuses? There are also abuses in Christian families, because that's the truth. Why are Christian men also watching to pornography, the same as the non-believers? Why are so many Christians drinking until they're all drunk? Why are we using drugs? And I can go further. Even, why do we smoke, actually? Okay? I know there are a lot of people who smoke. I'm not here to judge you. I mean, it's not about going to heaven or not. You will go to heaven a bit sooner than we, but you will, okay? That's not the point. The point is that you are a slave of something. I don't care of what, but you are a slave. That's the truth. I can't help it. And if Jesus sets us free, then why are we still slaves? Also a question that I asked God, and I said, okay, Lord, obedience is the key of knowing your truth. But why are we still, we know the truth. I just explained it, the cross of Jesus. Why are we still a slave? Jesus said this. He said, well, God, in Egypt, they had to carry this mark of the blood of lamb. That was their ticket to freedom, okay? But in the morning, they had to come out of their houses and to go to desert. That's the thing I cannot do for them. You have to come out your houses. Because most of us, we carry this sign, blood of Jesus, on our doorpost, and then we sit and wait until the Lord comes back. For we are free. Woo-hoo, hallelujah. But coming out of your house means making choices, means making different choices than the world does. Have you ever seen a documentary on National Geographic or wildlife or something like that, where they release an animal which lived from the birds with human beings? You know what I'm talking about? I lived on Texel, it's the island of the Netherlands, and there we had also this place where they had a lot of seals. And sometimes they release the seals for the first time in the wildlife. So when they bring these animals with the cage, and they put it somewhere, and they open the door, they say, go out, go out. And he said, he was like, you know, out to where? It's very difficult to come out of your house, because we do not want to break our habits. That's how we are. We have a lot of habits, a lot of tradition in our lives, and it's very difficult to break it. While we are carrying the sign of the blood of Jesus, most of us are sitting and waiting, and we are still not free. But the truth is, my friend, that the ticket, the price is paid. The power of sin and of death is broken. But the choice for living a free life is our choice. God cannot choose for you to do not let you in with all this stuff. Okay, that's your choice. The power of it is broken, but the choice is still ours. And while I was preparing for this morning, I also had a few few words for people sitting here, and I really believe that these are words of God special for this moment, for this occasion. And I want to put some truth of the Lord against the lies that the world is telling and which has a lot of influence maybe in your life, okay? Maybe there are lies in your life that are leading you which are not true. And I want to break it by putting God's truth just in front of it. And I want to ask the worship team to come out. Then we're going to end with a song. And while we will do that, I really want to pray for you and to give you the opportunity to react. I want to challenge you this morning, my friends. I want to challenge you. Because every time when you react on the message, something will change. If you hear and you go out, I mean, the birds will come and they will pick it out and then you will lose it. The seed, okay? You will lose it. The first truth that I really believe will break the chains is that God says in 1 Peter 1, be holy, for I am holy. That's the truth this morning. And I want to challenge you to make a choice to live a holy life. It doesn't come for itself. Nobody wakes up and he says, oh, let me live a holy life. No. You have to make a choice to live a holy life. And if you will make the choice this morning, you will say, I will break with everything which is not holy, for I am serving a holy God. That will break the chains in your life. For Jesus paid the price already. The second truth I want to share with you is Isaiah 41, verse 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And this breaks the chains of fear. If you are here this morning and you have this fear in your life, maybe in the evenings when you go to bed and you're afraid for the day of tomorrow or for what is coming, God is telling you this morning, do not fear. Do not fear. For He who created the heavens and the earth, He who created the stars for His glory, is with you. Give Him your fear this morning. Do not fear. And the third truth I want to share is from Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And this will break the chains of depression and of this idea that there is no future for you, for that's a lie. God says, I have the future. I have your future in my hands. And that is the truth this morning that will break the chains of depression. If you have given up with yourself, maybe God will never give up on you. God believes in you still. Okay? And He has these plans of helping you and plans of hope and a future. And the fourth truth I want to share is that He created you beautiful. You are beautiful. You are the crown of His creation. You hear me? And this will break the chains of watching in the mirror and having these negative ideas about you. This inferiority, you know. My friend, I meet a lot of young girls, and it really breaks my heart. Young, beautiful, precious girls believing that they are ugly or that they are not worthy. That's a lie of the devil. Really. The truth for this morning is that you are beautiful. And I pray that that will break your ideas of inferiority. And the last one I want to share, the truth of God, is that you are forgiven. And this will break the chains of guilt and of the burden carrying with you. You are forgiven this morning. It doesn't matter what you have done. His grace is greater than that. If you repent, if you really repent, and you decide to follow Jesus, your ground is holy ground. His fire has already burned. You are free. That's God's truth on your life. And it challenges you also to forgive others. You know why? That will break the chains of bitterness and anger. My friend, you do not forgive somebody for him or herself. No, you do it for yourself. For you are carrying this bitterness. If you want to be free, then you have to learn how to forgive. For that will break the chains of bitterness and anger. Let us bow our heads and close our eyes and pray. Dear God, I pray that you will move with your Holy Spirit, that you will move with your power which has set us free, for we are free. And Lord, help us to make this choice to stay in your word. For if we stay in your word and if we obey your words, then we will know the truth. And while we are praying, and I want to ask everyone to just continue praying and bend your head and close your eyes, I want to challenge you. If God has spoken to your heart this morning, and if you know, if there are things that you are bound with these chains, there are chains in your life, and you cannot get free, you cannot lose it, I'm here to challenge you. Raise up your hands so that I can pray for you. Raise up your hands. Oh, I see a lot of hands. Thank you. Raise up your hands. Okay. I see a lot of hands. Holy. Thank you, Jesus. I see a lot of hands. You see, there is power in the name of Jesus. So I want to declare the name of Jesus on your life. And actually, I want to pray with all you guys. I don't know, do we have a prayer team here in this house? Yeah? Can I invite the prayer team to front, and can I invite those people who just rose their hands to come forward to receive a prayer? That's not to show others, or that's not for me, really not, okay? But I do believe that this truth will set you free, and that you will leave this place with hope and with the strength to live a holy life. Can I invite, come forward, and maybe we can start with singing a great song, how the chains are broken. And while we will sing, the church, can I ask the church to stand up, everyone, just stand up and just sing. And I want to invite the prayer team to come. And please, people who just showed me, who had these hands up, come forward to receive a prayer, okay? Because there is power in the prayer in the name of Jesus. Mm.